changing his last name. Or basketball when they're trying to shoot free throws.
Yeah.
Of course they would love the crowd to be silent.
Yeah, of course they would.
Like, because you're so lazy. Talk to talk. You know, a lot of talk to talk.
All right. Welcome to This and That, Season 2, Episode 20. We're almost there, Kyle. One more episode, and we've done as much episodes as we have last season. Like, this is kind of crazy to think about, honestly.
Yeah, we're just kind of flying through it, and it's just like the halfway point almost.
Yep, pretty close to the halfway point. Once we get through the next two or so episodes, we'll be at the halfway point because we're planning to do 42, 43 episodes this season. Barring if we have to skip a week or so, but yeah, gonna get started with, you know, the top five games that we picked last week. Get into our actual top five games of the week. Get our honorable mentions in. Cover the upset week. Talk a little bit about that college football playoff action that's going on for our entertainment segment. Get any of our, you know, takes that we want to put in there, and then get into the top five games to watch this week, get our upset prediction there, and then get right back into the fantasy competition. It is back, ladies and gentlemen, but hockey this time around. So
get
ready for that. This is gonna be great. Got some great news for gambling men on my side of things. This is awesome, Kyle. I can't believe it's happened.
It was, and we almost both did it. I only missed it by a couple.
And then wrap it on up with Homer Bound once more. So yeah, let's get her off and done. Top five games of the week. I went 2-for-3.
Same.
I started off pretty well with two wins and then just fell off the cliff with three losses. Starting off with the number 20 Tennessee beating number 11 Louisville, 83-62 in men's basketball. Picked Tennessee to win that, so great win for them. They obviously just took it to Louisville, and it was like nowhere close. Like Louisville didn't. Just seemed pretty slumpy during that game. Then you have the Seattle Seahawks and the LA Rams going into overtime. Seahawks winning 38-37 and just one of the craziest football games I've ever watched on a Thursday night. So
definitely a good game.
Great for them. Seahawks win. I put them as my number one game in my actual top five games of the week this past week. So, yeah, kudos to them. Another game that's also going up there in the top five games of the week. Number 9, Alabama beating number 8, Oklahoma, 34-24. I picked Oklahoma to win this game. Did not see this from Alabama. Obviously, the whole world and everybody, their mom, thought Oklahoma was going to win once they got that 14-0 lead. But Alabama just comes back and just gets 24 unanswered points. And Oklahoma just couldn't find their way back into getting
the
lead. Or basically just choked away that lead. And then probably one of the most boring games of all time, Miami, Texas A&M. Miami beats Texas A&M 10-3, like scoreless first half. Very first game in the college football playoff to be scoreless at halftime is just the craziest stat. Honestly, I would expect it from any other game than this game. I picked A&M to win this game, so whatever. And then number 19, Texas Tech beats number 3 Duke 82-81. I picked Duke to win that game. So, yeah, there's another loss for me for my 2-3 record there.
Yeah, I didn't do too hot either. I went 2-3. Pretty much similar games, different outcomes though. So, I had the Alabama Oklahoma game. I also took Oklahoma. Or no, you took Oklahoma too, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Oklahoma's up 17-0 and they blew the biggest lead in college, or tied for the biggest lead at half in college football history. And the team they tied it with was themselves when Baker Mayfield did it. So Oklahoma's just known to choke in the college football playoff, I guess. Yeah, it was just like a tale of two halves in that game, but lost that one. I had the Carolina Hurricanes taking on the Florida Panthers, and I had picked the Carolina Hurricanes to win this game, and they were winning. It was like 4-1, and then Florida came back and beat them in like an overtime or a shootout. So
it was overtime.
Overtime, yeah. But they were winning big, so it was a bad loss for the Hurricanes on that one, and I had picked them. So unfortunate for me. It seems like all of my losses had a nice trend of blowing a lead and choking. Because my last one was Green Bay against Chicago, where Green Bay lost or gave up a 10-point lead with like 3.5 minutes left to lose to Chicago 16 or whatever it was, 22-16 in overtime.
Yep.
When Green Bay, all they had to do was just recover an onside kick and the game was over, and then they can't even do that. So that was a wild fourth quarter basically for that game.
Oh, yeah.
But Bears held on to win. All Bears have to do now is just win one of the remaining two games to clinch the division. Yeah, so it was good for them. Not good for Green Bay, but big win for the Bears. So those were my three losses. My wins, I actually picked Miami Hurricanes to upset Texas A&M. They beat them 10-3. Not much, like you said, not much to go on. It was a very defensive and like more of a mistake style. It was just a sloppy football game.
Yeah. I mean, it was like all on the kicker at the end of the day, yeah. Too.
Yeah, it was just a very sloppy game for the most part. I mean, they got much better in the fourth quarter. It was like all the action happened in the last like 8 minutes. So,
nope.
But picked that one. I figured that's what was going to happen. Not that score, but I figured Miami had enough to take out Texas A&M. And then my last game that I hit, I had picked number 8th ranked Houston going into Arkansas territory to beat the 14th ranked Arkansas Razorbacks. So, yeah, I had picked Houston to win that one. So, that was my only other win. So, going 2-3 in this one.
Okay. Nice. Nice. So, actual top five games. Like I said, I had the Seahawks-Rams game up here as the number one game of the week. I picked Kenneth Walker to be player of the game. 164 all-purpose yards with one rushing touchdown there between Alabama and Oklahoma, with Alabama winning 34-24. I picked Lazier Brooks with 79 receiving yards and two receiving touchdowns. The next three games, well, one of them was one of the games that I had in my actual top five games, but it ends up being number five, really. So I'm going to go over these other two that kind of place themselves above that, which is the Chicago Bears Green Bay Packers game. I believe that's one of the top five games this past week, with the Bears beating the Packers in overtime 22-16. Very close game, very good game. Giving player of the game to Caleb Williams, 250 passing yards, two passing touchdowns. Number four game goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers being the Detroit Lions, 29-24. Very close game. This game
controversial
was
ending.
It was very controversial, like the whole way through. Like it wasn't just that one play. There was a lot more going on in this game than a lot of people realized. And apparently, a guy named DK Metcalf is now not playing two games just for punching fans.
But hey, with this game, it goes back to what me and you've talked about with Coach Campbell with the Lions. All they had to do was kick a field goal in the first half instead of going for it, and then kick a field goal at the end of the game, and you won the game.
Yep.
So, he's getting too risky too much, and that's what we've talked about for weeks, is like, yeah, go for it at times. I like the aggressiveness, but at times it's costing you games.
It is. Like, yeah, sometimes you got to get that early point. That way, later on, you've got, a chance to win with, just 3 points rather than having to go for the touchdown.
Like, yeah, there were some bad calls. Like, the pass interference one was the terrible call where they said Tesla was off set a pick. Yeah, that was a terrible call. The last call was actually the correct call.
Pretty much had me all riled up. Like was,
and but the last call that was actually the correct call. What they called on the field on that, because it was pass interference. So by rule, they have to end the game.
Yeah,
but it was the play before, and it was that other pass interference that was like, yeah, that was not a pick.
Yep, and the funniest thing was I was watching that with my family, and my dad was sitting there. He's like, "Yeah, they're taking their time. They're talking to each other, and they're like, all right, this is the call we're about to make. Okay, let's figure out a way to get out of here without getting killed by all these fans."
Yes, it's like, yes, it was a touchdown, but it was also offensive pass interference, so it has to end the game.
So
there's
no
carryover.
They're all trying to figure out, all right, how the hell are we going to get out of here without dying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so player of the game goes to Jaylen Warren. We just didn't have an answer for him defensive-wise. Dude just ran all over us with 143 rushing yards, two rushing touchdowns. Dude just had a game. And then number 19, Texas Tech, being number 3, Duke. That belongs in top five games of the week for me.
Yep.
That Duke had like a 12-point lead, 17-point lead.
They were up decent. They had a decent lead.
And Texas Tech just comes back and wins like that. That was crazy. So I'm giving player of the game to JT Toppin. 19 points and 10 rebounds going for a double-double for Texas Tech. So go off, kid. And then my honorable mention, it's going to the Detroit Red Wings being the Washington Capitals. 3-2 in overtime recently. Player of the game to Mo Mortsider. Yeah. With the game winning goal there. So, yeah.
And I was sweating that game out too because the Detroit was up 2-1. And then that third period, good God, I was sweating it out because it was like chance after chance for the Capitals. They tied it, but it was like still like, holy crap. Please get to overtime. Get a point. I was sweating that one out because they weren't playing good in the second or that third period.
But it
was a big win because it was back-to-back on Washington. They just had their home-and-home with them.
Yep.
So, yeah, I like that. My top five, not really in any order, just top five games that I liked. I was trying to do a little bit different from yours. Obviously, I still had Green Bay and Chicago. Don't need to talk about it too much more. Yeah, I gave it to Caleb Williams. He actually played really good, even though they could not score. It was a couple like bad plays to begin the game, and then they couldn't score points at the end, but they were driving on Green Bay for most of the game. So Caleb Williams, 250 yards, two touchdowns. He looked good pretty much the entire game. Basically unlucky for Green Bay to lose that one because all he had to do was fill that onside kick, and he had it. So can't say much about that. My other game, I had Alabama beating Oklahoma 34-24. We also talked about that quite a bit. I gave mine to Ty Simpson, who had 232 yards and two touchdowns. He actually played a really good, solid game, even though they were pretty much shut out in the first half. But he still played a pretty good game for how bad he had been playing the couple weeks prior. So it was a good comeback game for them, good comeback win for the Alabama. And it basically took the coaching of Kalen DeBoer out of the Michigan radar.
Yeah.
Yep, I also had the Miami Texas A&M game, 10-3. Still deserves to be on there just because it was pretty much an upset. So I gave that one to the running back, Mark Fletcher. For a 10-3 game, he had 172 yards rushing. He ran all over him, but it was kind of like the Bears-Green Bay game where they just couldn't score points. It was just sloppy. So, again, we've talked about that quite a bit. The two games here next, we haven't talked about. Panthers taking on the Bucks and beating them 23-20. To take sole possession. Yep. Sole possession of the NFC South now. So if I didn't have Carolina Panthers being with 2 weeks left in the season, being the number one on the NFC South on my bingo card this year. So it's good for them. It's cool to see the Carolina win, hopefully get into the playoffs. I don't think they'll do much, but it's nice to see them progressing. I gave mine to Ted McMillan. He had 6 catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. He's going to be flirting with Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year for this year. He's had a really good season. And then my last game I have Ohio State. It was my upset, and they should have hit it. Ohio State losing to UNC 70-71. Player of the game goes to Caleb Wilson again. I talk about him every time I talk about UNC. He had 20 points, 15 boards, and 2 assists. So, yeah, that game was really kind of weird because UNC took a decent lead in the first half and then fumbled it. Ohio State took like a 3 or 4 point lead with I think 40 seconds left, and then UNC came back and took the lead within that 40 seconds to win the game. So yeah, that was my last game. And then my honorable mention, I have it with yours. I put it as my honorable mention because it's also part of the upset games, which is I think yours also was.
Yep.
Texas Tech coming back and beating Duke 82-81. I gave it to JT Toppin as well. He had his normal double-double. He's one of the best players in college basketball. So, yeah, that was my honorable mention along with my upset of the week, which I already mentioned. I missed my upset of the week because I had OSU versus UNC. And, yep, my actual would be Texas Tech upsetting Duke.
And I totally agree with you. We're definitely on a consensus of that being the actual upset of the week with mine. My pick also missing with – trying to pick Tulane to beat Ole Miss, but that just didn't happen. Ole Miss took it to Tulane 41-10. I thought Tulane might have had a chance within that first maybe two drives, but they just completely botched them.
Too much.
After the first two drives, I'm like, okay, there it is, and it's gone.
And Alex's bracket is gone.
And my bracket is gone as well because, my only pick that is green on my side is Oregon over JMU. Because, yeah. It's great.
Hey, but look, your final four is still intact, so that's all that really matters.
Yeah, my final four, because everybody else has a bye.
Even your next game, these next games you have,
yep.
You're still in. You still have Texas Tech, you still have Indiana, you still have Georgia, you still have Ohio State. So you're still good there.
Still looking decent. So, yeah, with that going into next week, we'll talk a little bit about it. I believe that the arguments for JMU and Tulane not being allowed in it is definitely agreeable. Yeah. But I want to just say one thing just for the masses out there that are just crying and just hear me out for a second. Last year they let Boise State in, right? And when you get into the college football playoff, you get a little bit of money towards your conference.
No, it's good for them for money-wise,
So the Mountain West got a little bit of money last year. They knock out two more of your, quote unquote G5 conferences by letting both JMU and Tulane in with the Sun Belt and the American Conference League. So guess who's left on this checkbox that they got to check off? Both the Pac-12, which is supposed to grow here in the next year or so with, Fresno State and Boise State and all Texas State going in there, which if I were Cal and Samford with the new ACC scheduling, which is ridiculous in my mind, should leave the ACC and go over to the Pac-12 and be like, yeah, we're going to go back to being in our regional conference where we should be. Because their box is not checked yet to be in the college football playoff. And then the CUSA, which I don't know anybody other than maybe UAB or maybe even Memphis can come out of the Conference USA, but I think Memphis is more in the American now, but they're usually the first team I think of when I think of CUSA, but it's been so long since all these realignments have been happening. I don't know who's in what teams anymore. So
no, I agree.
So like, it's just like the question mark will go around. Who do they let in next?
We kind of hit on it.
And I feel like if they fill in these check boxes, they'll be fine, and then they'll be like, okay, now we're just gonna do all Power Five, and we're just gonna do, which they should be doing a college football playoff between your CUSA, your American, your Sun Belt, and just the smaller.
We've talked about G5
teams. So
we've talked about it before. What they need to do, I think they leave the 12-team playoff as is.
Yep.
And what you throw in is an NIT 12-team playoff tournament. Throw them into there. Your rest of your teams.
And keep the Pop-Tarts Bowl around and the Cheez-It Bowl.
So then when you have that NIT 12-team playoffs, you have you have your automatic bids that will be Conference USA automatically gets one. Like all the few other smaller ones will get an automatic bid. Doesn't mean you're going to be the highest ranked, but you get an automatic bid in on top of like the 13th ranked team, the 14th ranked team, the 15th ranked team. They get that chance to go in also.
Yep. And that way they
have two tournaments. Just have two tournaments.
Just
like college basketball. You don't make it into the big dance. You can still play in the NIT dance and you still can win money for your NIL fund and or yourselves or your school.
Yep.
I'd watch the hell out of some NIT games in college football. That'd be pretty cool to watch an actual James Madison take on the 14th ranked team, not Oregon, Tulane playing someone that's not one of the top. I don't want to watch that. I want to watch James Madison, but they're not going to beat the top five teams in the country. They're just not.
Honestly, if you ask me, Western Michigan took it to Kennesaw State. I don't know if you watched the game, but I watched basically the last maybe half of the third quarter into the full fourth quarter of that game. And Western Michigan just freaking hammered Kennesaw State. So I would have loved to see Western Michigan match up against either Tulane or JMU if we're talking on this subject at the end of the day.
An NIT tournament, they might have a higher seeding. They could be a little bit higher up. And then they play an Iowa. They play a Vanderbilt. They play some of these teams. So at least you can get a matchup of a good power conference versus the smaller school. You can do it in the NIT round. Don't do it in the college football playoff, like the actual main one, because it's, I mean, you're just going to get games like that.
Yeah, yeah. But they're going to figure it out, because it took them 40 years for a 16 seed to beat a 1 seed in the NCAA basketball tournament. Yep. So they'll figure it out. I'm very confident in that, and to where there will be an actual Cinderella soon enough, but I don't know if it'll take 40 years. It might take a little bit longer than that. So yeah,
the problem with Cinderella's in college football, it's harder to do because you have so many more players on the field and money is involved a lot more. College basketball, you just have one team that can't stop missing shots. You could be a high school team and they just can't miss shots.
Yep.
It's on fire. You just don't get you're on fire in college football.
Nope. The only on fire you get is, like, if you can actually throw the ball to one guy and you just can't cover that one guy because he's just too quick for you.
Which a lot of these smaller schools, they just don't have, or the big schools will have someone that can always at least keep up with you.
Yep.
So it's just hard for the small schools to keep up.
Yep. So with that, we move up to our top five games to watch this upcoming week. And yeah, you can go ahead and call me biased, but I'm not wearing this hat for no reason this week. We're going to start off with some hockey tomorrow night. Yep. You've got the Stars at the Red Wings. That game is going to be very, very watched game by me and hopefully by the whole nation, because it's going to be on TNT. I'm going to give it to the Red Wings with them being at home. I know they didn't really play well against the Capitals, but I believe that they get things together. I think Patrick Kane's going to get a little healthy because we've got a pretty big week coming up. It's a very light week, too, because they've only got like three or four games within this week because they play the Stars and then they play the Canes, and I think they play only like one other game, you know, within this week from Monday to Sunday for our upcoming fantasy competition. So yeah, give me the Red Wings. I think this will go into overtime. Let me just say that much.
I would love it to go into overtime because I'm taking Dallas. Yeah. Dallas is too freaking good. Dallas is a powerhouse right now with the Avalanche. So I want the Red Wings to win, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to take on Dallas. So yeah, I'm taking Dallas in this one.
Yep. Moving on to Thursday, Christmas Day, we've got the Lions at the Vikings. Lions need to win out. They just as simple as that. I don't know about our playoff hopes, but at the very least, Lions just win out for me, please. That's all I'm asking. So
need it.
Give me the Lions to win in Minnesota on Christmas Day. Please don't ruin my Christmas. So yeah, we'll just go with that. Some college football, the Pop-Tarts Bowl between number 12 BYU and number 22 Georgia Tech. Let me get BYU to win down there in the Florida. So, yeah. And then coming up on Saturday, the one game that me and Kyle will both be at, it'll be a great game. We got tickets. We've got ourselves ready. I'm pretty much already ready right now to go to the game. Red Wings at the Canes. Let me get the Red Wings again because I want them to win and I want to rub it in Matt's face.
Yeah, I would like to at least win that one. That'd be fun to win that one.
So, yeah, you can call me a little bit of homer for picking the Red Wings twice, but I don't care. And then game number five for me will be the Eagles at the Bills on Sunday. This game is a pretty, pretty standard game for it being top five games. I believe this will be a high-scoring game. It will be great to watch, and I think the Bills will come out on top with them being at home against the Eagles. So, yeah, let me take the Bills on Sunday.
Yep, I agree with you there. I had Dallas and Detroit. I took Dallas. I had the BYU-Georgia Tech game. I took BYU. I took also the Bills with the Eagles and Bills. That game, I don't know. I'm not really sold on the Eagles right now because they play the NFC or whatever it is, the NFC North, six times. So I'm not too sold on the Eagles, and they have to go into Buffalo to win. So, yeah, I'm taking Buffalo there. The other two that I dip from you, I have the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Green Bay Packers. I think Green Bay is in a must-win type mode right now, just like your Detroit Lions, because – Green Bay, if Green Bay wins out and Bears lose out their last two games, Green Bay then takes the North. So I'm going to stick with Green Bay coming back and winning now. So, yeah, take Green Bay over Baltimore. And then I had the Bears 49ers game on, like what we said, Sunday night. So Bears having to go to the West Coast, I am taking the 49ers in this one.
I like that. And then upset prediction, Kyle, what you got?
Upset prediction's weird for me because I'm taking Virginia over Missouri as an upset in their bowl game when Virginia's the ranked team and Missouri's not. But Missouri's like kind of heavily favored in this game.
They are heavily favored. I had a look at that. I actually have that as my honorable mention coming up here.
So I was like, all right, whatever. I guess I'll take Virginia, see if we can have a upset game here.
Yep, I saw that, and I kind of like that. So I went a different direction with my upset prediction. Let's get our first NFL upset prediction going here, Kyle. Mm. How about it? Panthers over the Seahawks on Sunday.
Is it at home?
It's in Carolina. All the guys are going. All the guys are going to this game because, you know, Derek's a Seahawks fan, and, you know, the whole gang is just going to be there watching that game.
Good God. Derek's a Seahawks fan when Seahawks were good. Derek was a Ohio State fan.
Yep.
Who else is he like? The Chiefs?
He likes the
teams that are winning.
Cleveland Browns. He likes
We'll give him the Cleveland Browns.
Guardians. He likes the Seattle Mariners. Like he's more Cleveland if anything because he actually is from the state of Ohio just like you.
Yeah.
But his I think it's his mom's side of the family because
Seattle's crazy to me.
Like, he grew up in Seattle. He was born in Ohio, grew up in Seattle, and then moved here before we even started middle school. Like, basically, because he's a year younger than you and me. And before he even started middle school.
Cleveland sports or Ohio sports and Seattle sports.
Yep. So that's his whole forte for that.
But, yeah, I like it. I like that Panthers over Seahawks, especially playing at home.
Yep.
Sam Darnold's revenge game against the Panthers.
I love it. All right, now moving on to the only thing that Alex has been waiting for.
It's time
for the NHL Fantasy Competition. All right, for Alex's two teams, we got the Knuckle Pucks and Bash Bros Incorporated.
All right, with my teams, I have Team Iceland and Team Hawks.
Like it. All right. So for our draft, we are going to draft a center, a left wing, a right wing, two defense, a flex, which is any skater, not a goalie, and then a goalie for our teams. We will be playing these games from Monday to Sunday, which is how the fantasy app works on ESPN Fantasy. And, yeah, we will just kind of go from there from – how we will play this. So heads or tails, Kyle?
All right, let's go heads.
It is tails.
Ooh, Alex gets to go first.
Get to go first. So let's see here. I'm glad we have just forwards and D's. So now I have to figure out if he's a center.
Yeah, and I was saying, I was like, how do I filter this to get me the centers?
You cannot. That's the thing. It shows you on the trendy.
Up top.
Yeah, up top. Yeah. But that's about it. Those are players that are available. Those aren't everybody. Because I know he plays center. Give me.
This is going to be tough. I got to figure this out.
Let's make sure this works. And it does work. Nathan McKinnon.
Nathan McKinnon. See, now I gotta figure out who the hell is centers.
You can honestly look up their roster if you need to. As well.
All right, here we go. Now we're updated. All right. I guess we're just gonna take the top dogs right away, I guess. So Team Iceland's gonna take Connor McDavid.
Very nice, very nice. All right. Let's see here. He is a center. Yeah, if you press on their thing and you go all the way over to their bio, it's the best way you can find out. Bio. He is a right winger, not a left winger. Okay. Let's see here. He's also a center. There we go. All right, give me from the New York Rangers, Artemi Panarin.
Artemi Panarin. Let's see. Is he healthy? That's the question.
Is he healthy?
Is he healthy or isn't he healthy? I keep exiting out of the ESPN app for some reason. He keeps doing it. Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? He is not out. So we're going to take at left wing, Kirill Kaprizov.
I like it. I like it. Alex, already ready with his right winger because he found him earlier and wanted him so bad. Give me Nikita Kucherov.
Going with Kucherov. Kuch.
Give me that Cooch.
All right. I think with mine, we're going to go with X. Colorado Avalanche, X, Hurricane, current Dallas Stars, Mikko Rantanen.
I like it. I like it. All right. I'm just going to get him on my board. I don't care. I know I should not probably pick this guy till later on in the week. I don't want to sit on him as long as I did Jared Goff. Give me the get. Give me the guy. Give me Mo Sider.
Oh, we're going Mo Sider early. All right. Well, I guess I'll just take the number one guy. Give me at defense, Cale Makar.
Very nice, very nice. All right, I'm going to go a little bit further down the list here. And I'm going to take, hold on, make sure I've got this right. Yes. Ooh, that's who I want. Give me Jake Sanderson from Ottawa.
Sanderson. All right. I'm going to take the Washington D-man, Jake Ub Chicharin.
Jacob.
Jacob Chicharin.
All right. In the flex position, one of the most comeback kids in all of hockey right now. Give me McKillen Celebrini.
Macklin, huh? Macklin.
Macklin.
Who do I want for my flex? Let's go with a fun one. Carolina Hurricane, great. Sebastian. Oh ho.
Seabass.
Seabass.
Kick his ass, Seabass. Alright. Give me one of the most outstanding goalies so far this season. Colorado Avalanche starting goalie. Mike McKenzie Blackwood.
All right, I'm just going to take Dallas Stars starting goaltender, Jake Otter.
The Otter. All right, for the, wrong song. For the Knuckle Pucks, starting at center, you got Nathan McKinnon. Left wing, Artemi Panarin. Right wing, Nikita Kucherov. Defense, Morris, Cider, D. Jake, Sanderson, in the flex, McKillen, Silverini, and starting goalie is Mackenzie Blackwood.
All right, Team Iceland. At center, we've got Connor, Nick David. Left wing, we got Kirill Kaprizov. At right wing, we got Mikko Rantanen. Defense, we got Kale McCarr. And my other D-man is Jakob Pechirin. At flex, we have Sebastian Aho. And goalie, Jake Ottinger.
Me. All right. Now to Kyle to start it off with the centers yet again.
Where do I want to go? I can't find him. I want to make sure he's not hurt.
I can't find him.
Where is he?
He's a left wing. Okay. He is a center.
Hasn't had the best year so far.
No.
I wanted to go with him, but I don't think I should. So we're gonna go with why not? We'll just take the other top dog. Let's go with Toronto great American-born Austin Matthews.
All right. For my starting center for Bass Bros Incorporated, we're going to go with another American great from Michigan University, Jack Hughes.
That's literally who I was looking up.
Really?
Yeah, I was looking up Jack Hughes. I was just like, he hasn't had the greatest year. We'll go heavy first.
I don't care. He's a good player. All right, left wing.
At left wing, we're gonna go with left winger for the Nashville Predators, Philippe Forsberg.
Nice, very nice. All right, for my left wing, from the Dallas Stars, Jason Robertson. Right wing.
We are gonna go with Florida right winger Sam Reinhart.
All right, for my right winger from the Detroit Red Wings, Alex DeBrincat.
The cat. All right, my number one defensive pair. We're going to go with recently traded to the Minnesota Wild and brother of Jack Hughes, Quinn Hughes.
Very nice. I'm going to go with the number one overall defensive player in the league right now. Give me Kale McCarr. Oh, wait, you already have him. God dang it.
Wrong.
I already have him.
I don't think so.
Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast.
You know what? Let me give the guy a little bit of shout out. Justin Falk.
Falk.
That's what Alex just said.
My defensive pair with Quinn Hughes will be another shifty little fast guy, and it is with the Montreal Canadiens, Lane Hutson.
All right. For my second defender, I'm going to go with, from the Carolina Hurricane, Shane. Gots to be here.
At flex. Going with New York Rangers, great. Mika Zibanejad.
Zibanejad. All right, at flex. Let's see here. Do I really want to go with that guy? I don't think so. Yes, I'll go with this one. Give me Zach Hyman.
Hyman, another Michigan great.
All right.
At goalie. We're going back to Florida, and we're going to go to Tampa, to be specific. Andre Vasilevsky.
All right, let's see here. Is he their starting goalie? Is he the starting goalie? His stats say so. I don't know. He is the better goalie. I really want to pick this guy. I'll just go the other way. Let me get from Boston, Jeremy Swayman. All right. For Bash Bros Incorporated. God, I keep pressing the wrong thing. Oh my gosh. Producer is fired. All right. For Bash Bros Incorporated, starting at center, got Jack Hughes. Left wing, Jason Robertson. Right wing is Alex DeBrincat. At the first D is Justin Falk. At D number two is Shane Gots-to-be-here. At flex is Zach Hyman. And starting goalie is Jeremy Swayman.
All right. Starting lineup for Team Hawks. At center, we've got Austin Matthews. At left wing, we have Fleet Forsberg. At right wing, we have Sam Reinhart. First D pair, we have Gwen Hughes. Second D-man, I have Lane Hutson. At flex, we have Mika Zibanejad. And at goalie, we have Andre Vasilevsky. Andre Vaseline.
All right. Like it.
The first week is in.
It is in. It is very, very in for sure.
It's here.
Can't believe it. Why does this keep doing this? I don't understand. Why are you being difficult? There we go. Finally. Okay, back to our normal programming.
Back to Cali.
And to the thing that Alex has all been waiting for today. He can't believe it. He's pulled it off, everybody.
He's done the perfect week.
But he has to make the read first before he can even make the announcement. Because you must be 21 or older to gamble. Problems with gambling, please call the gambling helpline at 1-800-GAMBLER. Alex has had a perfect week.
He has gone perfect
on a gambling week. I can't believe it. Next thing you know, he's going to lose everything this next upcoming week just because he went perfect.
And over half his bets were all Detroit related.
Yes, exactly. Literally.
All of them.
Literally everything is just like Detroit related in some way, somehow.
And it's crazy because I was really close. I only missed two of my singles and one of my anything goes parlay, and I would have had a perfect one too.
It's kind of crazy how yeah, we can turn things around for you and get you some money. So, yeah, I'm looking pretty positive. I was at negative 57 as of last week. I won $224 off of a perfect week. After spending the $70 for this week, I am positive at 97 bucks. So I'm sitting with a little bit of money in the pocket after this week, too.
I started at 234 this week. I won 120. Lost that 70 for input, so I'm at 284. So, yeah, we both won some money this week.
Gotta like that. Gotta like that. So, with my 5-0 top singles week, you got the Detroit Pistons money line over Boston, which was a win on Monday, last Monday. You got the Detroit Red Wings money line win over the New York Islanders. What won me 17 bucks there. The Seattle Seahawks beat the LA Rams. They just had to cover a 1.5 spread, which I would pick the Seahawks, and I did pick the Seahawks, so it was awesome. Won me 18 bucks there.
It was a 1.5.
Yeah, it was a 1.5.
It was to not lose by 1.5.
Yeah, it was to not lose by 1.5.
Yeah, so, I would say holy shit.
So like if they didn't even get that, you know, overtime score, I was fine.
Oh yeah, you're good as long as you don't lose by more than
one. Yeah, because like they went for the 2-pointer. I was just sitting there. I'm like, I'm good. They make this. My pick is a win. They missed this. I would have gone 1-4 this week instead of going 2-3.
Yeah. But
either way, I was okay with it, not knowing that I would have gone 1-4. But still,
true. Anyways.
And then the Chicago Bears, they beat the Green Bay Packers in overtime with a freaking comeback, which was awesome to watch. That won me 21 bucks. And then the Carolina Panthers beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that won me 22 bucks last week. So yes, I love it.
Yeah,
good 5-0.
Got his 5-0 win.
Got the 5-0 win for the singles. So upcoming tonight, the Pistons are playing the Portland Trailblazers. I've got the Detroit Pistons to cover the 6.5 spread that they have over Portland. That is at negative 102. Then I've got the Detroit Lions to cover the 6-point spread over Minnesota at negative 112 on Christmas Day. Then give me the Chargers with the negative 1.5 spread to cover over Houston, which Houston had a little troubling time against the Raiders last week, so I don't know about Houston anymore. At negative 105. And then the Carolina Panthers, they have a 7.5 spread to cover against the Seattle Seahawks. They're obviously the underdog, so I think they will definitely, if they lose, it's definitely not going to be by a touchdown. It's probably going to be by a field goal. That's at negative 115. And then the Eagles and the Bills, I believe, will go over 44.5 points, and that's at negative 115. I believe that will be a very high-scoring game between the Eagles and the Bills. It is very...
And it's just going to be weather-dependent for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it could like be, that. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for my past week, I went 3-2. My two losses, I had a Louisville money line versus the Tennessee Volunteers. Didn't hit that one. Then I had Oklahoma money line versus Bama. Did not hit that one. My three wins, I had NC State money line versus Memphis. That was a win. Then I had UNC minus 14.5 versus East Tennessee State. That was a win. And then I had taken the Miami money line over Texas A&M, which was a hit. So the Miami money line, so the ones I lost weren't really too bad, but still got me three wins in there, which still gets you a net. For this upcoming week, we have a couple that are we both liked. So when I took the Lions spread versus the Vikings, it was at minus 5.5. So I have Lions minus 5.5 versus the Vikings. That's at minus 118. I also took the Chargers minus 1.5 versus the Texans. That was at minus 120. I'm taking Green Bay Packers money line at or not money line spread at minus 2.5 versus the Ravens. That's at minus 105. I'm taking the Minnesota Gophers in their bowl game minus 2.5 versus the New Mexico Lobos. That's at minus 110. And then I am taking BYU in their bowl game at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. against Georgia Tech. I'm taking the spread of -4.5, and that's at -110 as well.
I like that. That's going to be a pretty good win there. For my honorable mention, Kyle, believe it or not, like I said earlier in this podcast, the Virginia money line over Mizzou is at +164, yep, right now, and I kind of like that. That's a pretty that's attractive bet right there. So
that's that upset.
Moving on to same game parlay, because that was the one that you hit, right?
Yep, I did hit that one.
With the same game parlay, I did the Red Wings money line over the New York Islanders, which that was the win. I took Emmett Finney with two or more shots on goal, and he actually got just two shots on goal, which was just enough. And then nice. Alex DeBrincat with one or more points, and he got a goal and an assist within the game. Nice. So that was a big win. So it moves me to 3-16. I won $36 off of that parlay there. So, yeah.
Nice.
Big old win. With my upcoming same game parlay, I'm going with the game tonight between the 49ers and the Colts. I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor with 90 or more rushing yards at -150. George Kittle with 6 or more receptions at -151. And then a CMC anytime touchdown at -215. It rounds up to +315. $10 will pay out $41. And I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So I hit my same game parlay. I had the Seattle and LA game on Thursday night. I took Seattle money line over the Rams, which was a hit. I took the over of 44.5 points, which is a hit. And I had a Puka Nacua anytime touchdown, which he ended up getting 2. So that was a hit. So that was at +513, and I ended up with a $61 win on that one.
Nice.
Yeah, for my upcoming one, I'm also taking tonight's game. All different bets, though, than yours. I'm taking the 49ers -4.5 spread, and that's at -115. I am taking the under in the points tonight at 46.5. That's also at -115. And then I am taking a Jawan Jennings touchdown at +140. And that will get me a +640 for the game, or for the bet. $10 nets you $64.
Nice. Very nice. I like that. All right. Anything goes parlay. The other one that I hit brings me up to 3-16 in that one as well. Got the Chicago Bears money line over Green Bay with the win, which was also one of my top five singles. The other two bets within this parlay was the LA Chargers money line over Dallas, which they won in a very good fashion there in Dallas, which was a big win for me. Then New England Patriots money line over Baltimore, which that one I was sweating. I stayed up and I watched that game just to sweat out this part of my parlay, because this was the last thing to hit to keep me at perfect. And I was like, please just let it happen. And yeah, it was quite the sweat, because Baltimore made it a pretty interesting game between them and the Patriots. But the Patriots pulled off the win with a last minute peanut punch and turnover, and then they just had to run the clock out from there. So big old $90 win for me there with the anything goes parlay from that. Nice. My upcoming anything goes parlay goes with some games upcoming this week. I'm taking the Eagles Bills over 44.5 again with the -115 odds. I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars -7 spread over Indiana. Indiana's pretty hurt. I don't know about Phillip Rivers like playing for them. And exactly. This is a Jaguars team that's just been ripping everybody apart, that's been pretty much hurt or not that great in the AFC. And then I'm taking the San Francisco 49ers -2.5 spread over the Bears later on this week. And that's at -122. Total rounds up to +564. $10 will pay out $66. So,
yeah, we're pretty much almost the same amount of money we're getting here. Yeah, I lost my anything goes. I had Seahawks money line versus Rams, which was a hit. I had the Eagles money line versus the Commanders, which was a hit. Then I lost on the Giants money line versus the Vikings. So, yep, almost hit that one as well. My upcoming one. I don't know why I put Dalton. What that meant to be was Dallas. I have the Dallas Stars at -1.5 puck line versus Detroit tomorrow night. That's at +198. I thought that was kind of crazy how high that was for them just to win by two. So I have that one on there. I have the Washington Capitals money line versus the Rangers. That's at -170. And then I have the Carolina Hurricanes money line at home against the Panthers at -160. So altogether, that'll give me a +669. $10 won just $66.
Love that. Love that.
Sticking with hockey. Hockey, anything goes.
Like that. I mean, that's why it's an anything goes. Anything goes. Doesn't matter. Don't bet on it. My don't bet on it. Do not bet on the New York Giants versus the Raiders game. The Raiders gave the Houston Texans a very tough time. I don't know why. And the Giants aren't that great. They're not much better. They're definitely worse than the Houston Texans. So, yeah, let's completely avoid that game altogether.
Yeah, mine's simple. Just don't, at this point in the season, don't bet on the Chiefs. Don't bet them on for anything. They go out and lose to the Titans. Just avoid them. Don't touch the players. Stat lines.
They're supposed to be playing the number one team in the NFC, the Broncos, again.
Yep. So just don't touch the player stats. I would not mess with the Chiefs right now on any bets unless it's just for them to lose.
Yep. I like that. All right. Homeward bound we go now. A light scoreboard reveal. Very light week since we both had a bye week.
Yep.
No fantasy competition, so there's no 100 points being scored here. So I won the week by beating Kyle 18-8 this week. Previous totals were 18-54.6 to 21-76.9, so it doesn't really make that much of a difference.
Alex should get a boost of 100 points for getting a perfect board.
Just extra, let me calculate this out, 300 and whatever points just to make me tied with Kyle.
100 points for getting perfect.
But yeah, I am at 182.6 points, and Kyle is at 2184.9 points now, going into this next week with the NHL fantasy competition to give us some big points coming up in the next few weeks. So yeah, homeward bound. Yeah, Lions take one of the most terrible losses I've ever seen in my life. And they definitely need to win out now. It was a need to win out last week. It is a definitely need to win out this week.
You got to win now.
Yeah.
You don't have enough. Yeah, there's no room for mistakes at this point. Yep, room for mistakes now.
Nope.
Because you could even win out and still not make it. So that's how much of a you have to win out. Type situation you guys are in.
It is not the greatest situation that anybody really wants to be in to make a playoff push, if you would.
I agree with you. So yeah, Packers, like we talked about it quite a bit, lost to the Bears.
Yeah,
basically gonna win that division unless at this point Bears need to lose their last two games. Packers need to win their last two games. Then they would jump into the North. But other than that, I figure Packers just need to win one of the next two, and they are in the playoffs regardless. That's just where we're at there. And then we got the Panthers. Panthers with a big, big win.
Big win for the Panthers because, they've put themselves at the top of the NFC South. They got the Seahawks next, and then they face Tampa Bay another time. If Tampa Bay even loses again, then the Panthers are definitely a solid team to be in as the NFC North or NFC South. So, yeah.
Yep. Panthers win one more, Tampa loses one more, then they're in.
So,
going to Michigan, Michigan basketball. Well, football, not much to talk about. We're still looking for a coach, though. We're no reason to go beat a dead horse at this point with that one.
Nope.
But basketball still staying hot.
Very hot. Great way to go into the holiday break. They go into the break the right way with a very great win over LaSalle.
They beat LaSalle. by 40. I think it was their sixth time scoring over 100 points or something like that this year already.
Yep.
So, yeah, coaches poll, they have them at number one. AP, they're number two. So, yeah, they'll probably remain that for the next 2 weeks because, like you said, they got a bye week. Well, basically, they got a break right now, and they come back.
Everybody's got a break until at least Sunday, Monday next week. So
next Saturday or Sunday, they play. I forget who they play.
They're probably playing on Sunday, if anything.
It's their last non-conference game, so they'll
It's everybody's last non-conference game because the conferences usually don't start for everybody until January. But with the Big Ten and the ACC, sometimes they have one or two within the month of December to kind of get it off and get it going.
They got McNeese State on the 29th on Monday, and then they start their Big Ten play.
Yep.
And then that makes sense. And then we got NC State. They had a nice win against Ole Miss. They needed
Yeah, it was a great win against Ole Miss. Great way to go into daybreak there against
the non-conference
team.
That was a tournament team. It was good for them because they needed to respond because Will Wade was not happy with them on their post-conference the interview after their one game. So, yeah, that's a good way to go into break. And I think their next game is like.
And plus, that was a neutral site game, really. It was in Greensboro. It wasn't at, you know, the Lenovo Center or Reynolds because they played the Reynolds Center against, who was it? Kansas? I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere
No, it was somebody else.
But yeah, it was a big win, and then they start their conference, I think, actually next week week and a half against Wake Forest.
Yep.
They play at home against Wake Forest on the 31st, New Year's Eve.
Yep, and that will be a big game between the Wolfpack and the Deeks, and that's literally what I'm about to talk about with the Deeks. Deeks basketball, they lost to Vandy, unfortunately, and yeah, they got to start their ACC play with NC State, and it's not looking too great for the Deeks, but hopefully they can make a run for it in the ACC other than that one game. But, you know, other than the Wolfpack, you don't see anybody else other than Duke and UNC really making, you know, headlines, really.
Yeah, it's true.
So, Red Wings are in the top five in the NHL right now.
Number one in the Atlantic.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
They are
dominating December. I think they're like 8-3 now, or 8-2 in December. So they've had a really good December.
Yep.
They got to end it strong because they have two tough games here to end.
Prove it week ahead for both them and the Canes, because Red Wings have both Dallas and the Hurricanes, and then the Canes have both Florida and Detroit.
Yep.
So it's a prove it week for both teams here coming up.
You're gonna have a battle of first place on Red Wings Canes.
Yep. First place for the East right there for sure. Speaking of the Eastern Conference, Pistons are staying on top of the Eastern Conference there. It's pretty awesome to see. They're very stellar team, very great basketball team to be playing here. And then Wrexham take a tough 2-1 loss. And they've got a tough road game ahead against Sheffield United. Sheffield United's one of the most premier teams that they've played recently. They've played them pretty often, especially when they were participating in what is the FA Cup, which they always have been getting knocked out in the past, like within like the fourth round or third round. And so they face this team multiple times, so hopefully they can come out with a win against them. I don't know. They're a very tough team to beat. They're that team that always goes back and forth from playing either in the Premier League or in the Championship League. So they're usually one of those teams that are always able to, you know, pull things off, especially
I got you there.
You know, late season. So with that will wrap up this episode of season 2, episode 20 of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff, and have a good rest of your day, and have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and yeah, we'll see you one more time before we turn that calendar into the new year. I'm Alex Bauer.
I'm Kyle Davis.
Y'all have a good one.